We're coming to the Word of God this morning. We're back in Genesis, chapter 39, continuing our series on the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 39, we're going to read from verse number 7. Those of you who were there last night, you'll know that, well, you've heard of string quartets. We had a string trio last night, and they're going to be playing tonight again in the church. So come along and encourage the young men. Encourage them as they seek to use their gifts and talents to the glory of the Lord. Genesis chapter 39, and we'll read from verse number 7, please. Reading from verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass that at this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hands and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she led up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the present. And we know that God always blesses the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inspired, and inerrant word. Here, this morning, we're reading about a young man. Joseph may have been 20 at this stage. He may still have been a teenager. He may only have been 19 years of age. He's facing a real and a serious temptation. And yet, Joseph stands tall. And Joseph maintains his testimony. He is able to resist this temptation, and this is indeed one of the greatest triumphs in the life of Joseph. We could simply call it this morning the temptation of Joseph. You know, we need to pay close attention to Joseph this morning. There are many temptations that every child of God will face at some time. There are material temptations. There are personal temptations, a lust for popularity, position, fame, and power. And of course, in the case of Joseph, a sensual temptation. This is what Joseph faced head on. This applies to married couples of all ages. This applies to young people. Indeed, this applies to all of us, because all of us will face temptation. Now, we know that David was tempted and David failed. And if the devil had the audacity to tempt David, do you not think he'll try and tempt you? But then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. If Jesus Christ faced the temptation of Satan, surely you and I too will face his temptation. As I say, if you have the audacity to tempt the Lord Jesus and to tempt David and to tempt Joseph, do you not think he'll also try and tempt you and tempt me? Joseph had been promised in Genesis chapter 37 that one day he would be a great ruler. God had told him what he was going to do in his life. Joseph had a great potential ahead of him. Here's a young man who loves the Lord with great potential. No wonder the devil sought to tempt him. And I say to you this morning, very often his temptation is indeed a credit to you in one sense, because he knows how valuable and he knows the great potential you have for God and for his glory. I want to think of his temptation this morning. I want you to realize that any of us can be tempted. Satan is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's slithering around like a serpent in all his subtlety. He's sending those fiery darts in your direction and in my direction. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let's look at the timing here, first of all, this morning. Look at verse 2. You remember last week we studied these verses. We talked about the adversity that Joseph was going through. And in spite of the adversity, he had a testimony. Verse 2 says the Lord was with Joseph. What a testimony. To be away from home, to be betrayed by your brothers, to be treated so cruelly, to end up as a slave instead of the favored son. And yet we read that the Lord was with him. He had a testimony. Even his master recognized the Lord was with him. We talked about his prosperity. And we said this is not material prosperity. This is spiritual prosperity. Verse 5 tells us that he was, indeed, verse 4 tells us he was promoted. And verse 5 tells us that he was a real blessing. A real blessing where he was. Here's a young man. He's prospering spiritually. He's being a real blessing where the Lord has him. He's making the best of a bad situation. God is blessing him. God is using him. And then look at verse 7 and read it in that context. And it came to pass when? After these things. Do you see when you're on a spiritual high? You see when the Lord's blessing. You see, when things are going well spiritually, it's so often when things are going well, we feel we're impregnable. We feel that the devil can touch other people, but he surely couldn't touch me. Paul said this, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you look through Scripture, you'll discover after great spiritual victories comes the problems. Remember, it was after that great victory on Mount Carmel that Elijah faced his Jezebel. The Lord Jesus Christ had went through the waters of baptism. The heavens opened and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What happened in the very next verse? We find him in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. Very often it's after a spiritual high when that roaring lion will seek to trip you up and seek to cause you to fall. It was the same with Peter. Do you remember Peter made that great statement? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, my Father in heaven must have revealed this to you. How did the Father in heaven reveal this to Peter? He must have been spending time in God's Word. Here's a man spending time in God's Word and he stands up and his mouth is opened and God uses him to make one of the greatest statements of faith you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. Within 30 minutes, this is what we read. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Within 30 minutes, from using his mouth to glorify the Lord, his mouth's been controlled by Satan. And if it can happen, Peter, if it can happen, David, if it can happen, the disciples, when they were asleep on the when they're on that little boat and the devil caused a storm to come upon them, when they're in obedience to the Lord, it can happen to you and it can happen to me. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to realize this morning that temptation is real and it's genuine for every child of God. Do you see the timing this morning? Let me say something about the temptation this morning. I want you to say something about the plenty. And what I mean by plenty is that the devil's not short of arsenals in his of weapons in his arsenal. Because already he had tried pain with Joseph. Joseph had been betrayed. Joseph had been treated despicably. He'd been sold as a slave. Think about what Joseph has gone through. Surely if it was you and I, we have to be honest this morning, we would be tempted to say, Lord, we're through with you. We would be tempted to say, we're walking away from the Lord. We're going back into the world. We've had enough of this Christianity. It's brought nothing, only trouble. And the devil tried pain and it didn't work. Now he's trying pleasure. And he'll not mind whether he gets you through pain or whether he tries and gets you through pleasure. And he's tempting Joseph here with pleasure. Do you see the plenty here? Do you see something else? Notice how profitable this temptation would have been. Verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife. Notice where the temptation comes from, the master's wife. How respectful. You know, the world dresses up sin and makes it look respectable. How many sodomites have been given the title of sir? And they stand up and they look so respectable. And sin is made to look respectable. And here sin comes in a respectable guise. She is the master's wife. And here's a young man with no friends, no family, no fortune. He has no fellowship. He has no meeting to go to. He's just himself and the Lord. That's all there is. And here's the boss's wife. What an opportunity for Joseph. What an opportunity if he had a relationship with the boss's wife. You know, it would be a shortcut to the top. He could use that influence to get more benefits and more things from Potiphar. It's a profitable temptation. It could be very lucrative for Joseph. This is the guise in which temptation can come. It can seem very profitable. Maybe that's the temptation you're facing this morning. You see, this would have been a shortcut. You see, the Lord told Joseph that one day he would be prime minister. He, all the rest would bow down to him. Here's a shortcut to the top. Surely if he has a relationship with this woman, he'll get to know Potiphar. Potiphar's close to Pharaoh. Here's a shortcut. And the devil loves to offer shortcuts. That's what he did with the Lord Jesus. You remember he said, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. He says, you see all the kingdoms of the world? He said to the Lord, you can have them if you worship me. You know, one day Jesus Christ will rule. One day he will rule this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you know, he had to go by the way of the cross. But the devil loves to offer you a shortcut and offer me a shortcut. And here you can see how profitable this temptation would have been. Do you see the plenty? Temptation comes in many varied shapes and sizes. Do you see the profitability? This could have been so beneficial to Joseph. Do you see the peering? And verse 7, this is where it begins. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. This is where it began, with the eyes. And she's looking upon Joseph. And so often in Scripture you'll find that it began with a look. You look at Lot. You know, it says that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld. He looked and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he says, I'm going there. And it's the look that took him to Sodom. What was the result? His wife and most of his family ended up in a lost eternity. And it began with a look. Just began with a look. If you know the story of Achan, do you remember how Achan was stoned to death? Because Achan saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the wedge of gold and he saw it. And then he took it. It began with the look. We could talk about David. I don't have to go into details in the family service this morning. It says he saw a woman. He looked at Bathsheba. He saw her. That's where it began. What have you been looking at lately? What have you been staring at? What has been going through the eye gate? Because this is where temptation begins. Job knew this. And Job said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? Men this morning, we can say what we like about the sisters, but Job realized he had his responsibility. And he made a covenant with his eyes that he wasn't going to look. He wasn't going to look and be tempted in a way that would cause him to fall. Solomon said, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. What have you been watching? You know, all around us, there's so much now that can only be described as nudity. There's so much that is provocative and so much that is sensual. And I would say to the ladies in the meeting, particularly the young ladies, be careful how you dress. You get no prizes from God for dressing shabbily and untidily. That's not what the Lord wants. It's fine to dress attractively, but not suggestively. And there's a difference. Be careful what you wear. Because it begins with the eye. And this is what happened here with Potiphar's wife. She began to look at Joseph. And she looked again at Joseph. And now things were starting to come into her mind. You know, if you want to look, have the eyes of Jesus Christ. You know, he came over Jerusalem and he says he beheld the city and he wept. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. We want to have the vision that Jesus Christ had. And when we look at people, we want to see them as lost souls that need to be prayed for. Do you see the peering? Do you see the propositioning then in verse 7? And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. I don't have to spell it out for you this morning. Joseph's being tempted here. The heat has been turned up. Joseph was serving God faithfully. He was walking uprightly. He was being blessed spiritually. He was growing. His boss could see that the Lord was with him. And all of a sudden, from nowhere comes temptation. And if it happened to Joseph, it can happen to you. Look at the persistence in verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. This is how temptation works. It just doesn't come and then disappear. Day by day. It was the same with the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. You read again, Satan come and tempt him. And again, Satan comes and tempts him. And here you see it again. It was day by day. Someone has said, a drop of water will eventually wear away the rock. And drip, 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 day by day, she was coming and she was enticing. She was propositioning. She was suggesting to Joseph that he would do something that he knew wasn't right. And you and I, it's not enough to have the victory today. We need to have the victory tomorrow. And certainly, each victory will help you some other to win. But we have to keep close with the Lord. And as believers, we can never, ever be complacent. And you can never drop your guard. See the persistence? Look at the plotting as well here as we think of this temptation. Two things regarding the plotting. Notice in verse 10 what is said. It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, but look at the next bit, or to be with her. I wonder, did she say, look, Joseph, just come and be with me. I wonder, did she offer him a compromise? She went all out the first time, and then she saw she was getting nowhere, and she says, look, just be with me, just spend some time with me. Yes, she's another man's wife. He shouldn't do it. But this is innocent, Joseph. This is not, nothing bad's going to happen. And I wonder, was she trying a compromise? You cannot compromise with sin. And let me say this. Don't walk into a compromising situation. You cannot do deals with sin. Because the devil plays dirty. And he's a liar. You see, the compromise. And then you see how covert it was in verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men there. She waited for the moment when Joseph was all alone. No witnesses, no one to stop what she was doing. No one would ever know what was taking place. You see, the devil knows the place, he knows the person, and he knows the pleasure. You couldn't fault Joseph for this. But let me ask you this morning, do you find yourself in the wrong places? You take yourself into the wrong place, you're asking for trouble. Joseph would never willingly have gone into a room with this woman on her own. But here she comes and she has him all on her own. She knows now whatever she does, no one will ever know, and she can tell all the lies she wants. And I would just say to you to keep yourselves out of the wrong places and away from the wrong people. And if you find yourself this morning drifting in a certain direction, and you know who the Lord's talking to this morning, it's time for you to pull back. You see the place? Then you see the pressure in verse 12 as we think of this temptation. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It's now aggressive. It's demanding. It's forcing. And Satan will step up the heat. He'll go as far as he can. When God allowed him to attack Job, he first of all wanted his farm. Then he wanted his family. And then he went for Job's freedom. He went for his health. And he went as far as God let him go. And the devil will go as far as he can to take you down and to take me down. That's what he'll do. And you can see the pressure coming on young Joseph here. Here's a young man. He's said no already a number of times. And here is peer pressure of the worst sort being applied to a young man. A young believer. And you know, there's peer pressure on our young people. And some that I have known of have succumbed. And some have ended up drug addicts and alcoholics because of peer pressure. It's only one drink. It's only a cigarette. It's not too serious. Have a go. And many will say no and no and no and no, but there may come the point when sadly they will give in and yield to temptation. But you know, here's a young man called Joseph. Younger than David was when David was tempted. And sometimes we're hard on our young people, but here's a young man who stood up and said no, whereas the older man didn't. And older people this morning, we can preach to the young people, but let it not pass over your head or mine either. You can see the pressure here. You see the temptation, the plenty. He's a lot of ways. You see the peering and the profitability and the proposition and the persistence and the plotting and the pressure. Then you see the perjury from verse 14 to 17. You can see, and I don't need to go over the verses again for the sake of time. She calls her husband eventually. She lies through her teeth. And as I said, the devil is a dirty, lying, filthy serpent. And you know, this woman would have spread rumors about Joseph. And you know something? Some people would have believed her. And I would say to you this morning, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe gossip. You know it might not be true. And don't repeat it. Because if it's not true, you're spreading lies. If it is true, what good are you doing the person? And what good are you doing yourself? Do you think it's glorifying the Lord? I can just see. This woman, if she lived in the 21st century, she'd be on the phone, be in the newspapers. Joseph's name would be blackened. And Joseph was 100% innocent. Don't believe everything you hear. You see the timing here. Joseph is going well. You see the temptation, a young man far away from home. Who would ever know? But then you see the triumph here as we think about Joseph. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. How did Joseph say no? Do you see his decisiveness in verse 8? But he refused. Look at verse number 12. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled. You can't reason with sin. You can't debate with sin. You just have to run. And three times in Scripture, in similar circumstances, the Bible says flee. Paul says flee fornication. He said to Timothy, flee youthful lust. And here we see Joseph, and he flees the situation. And I would say to you as a believer, we're to abstain from the very appearance of evil. And if you find yourself in this situation, get out. Flee. And don't leave a forwarding address. Do you remember Daniel? Daniel was tempted in Babylon. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was taken away from his home. There was no mum there. There was no dad there. There was no brothers. There was no sisters. No one would ever know if Daniel had said yes. But Daniel knew that God would know. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You know, to say no, your mind needs to be in the right condition. And if you're looking and your mind's been filled with the wrong things, when it comes to saying no, you may not have the resolve to say no. Joseph was in touch with God. And Joseph says no. Something else Joseph was, not only was he clear, but he was discerning. Look at verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept like anything for me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was decisive and Joseph was discerning. Notice how he describes it in verse 9. Great wickedness. Notice what he says. It's a sin against God. Notice also he said, thou art his wife. How did Joseph know this? Why did this trouble Joseph? Why was he concerned about it? The psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's the word of God. You see, when you're tempted to be proud, you think Jesus humbled himself, became obedient unto death. When you're tempted to lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. When you're tempted to be greedy, thou shalt not covet. When you're tempted to be selfish, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When you're tempted to be dishonest or steal, thou shalt not steal. When you're tempted into some sexual temptation, remember your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Word of God comes to you. And if you feed your mind with the Word of God, when the temptation comes, the verses will come. I'm sure you've experienced it. I'm sure you've found yourself in a situation and you know the Lord's speaking to you. And you say, this is not right. And God speaks to you. But you see, if you're not in the Word of God, how are you going to know? And how are you going to have the discernment that Joseph had? This is a serious matter. It was a sinful matter. And Job knew God's Word. And God's Word was hidden in his heart. And Joseph had the resolve to say no. Joseph was decisive. Something else. Notice his devotion in verse 9. He said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The Lord Jesus one time said this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He says you're to love God and you're to love your neighbor. He says this is the law. And by grace, you and I are to love the Lord and we're to love our neighbors. Did Joseph love the Lord? Well, look what he said in verse number 9. He said, this is a sin against God. David said in his great confessional psalm, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. But Joseph loved God. And Joseph knew this was a sin against God. God, the one who created him, the one who had blessed him, the one who was with him. Remember what his brothers did? They sold him as a slave. And they took to their heels and they went to their dad and they said, Joseph's dead. And then in the next verse you see, but the Lord was with him. God was faithful to Joseph. And Joseph loved God. And Joseph said to himself, how can I sin against a God who stood with me when everybody else abandoned me? Let me say to you this morning, how can we as believers love the Lord? He went to the cross for us, shed his blood for us, died for us, such an agony and shame. How can we sin if we really love the Lord? You see, if you love God, then you'll love your neighbor. Did Joseph love God? Yes, he did. He wouldn't sin against him. Did he love his neighbor? Do you see what he said? He said he wouldn't do anything because his master had been so good to him. He trusted him with everything. He loved God and he loved his neighbor and he said no. Do you see the devotion of Joseph? Joseph was a man who was discerning. Joseph was a man who was decisive. And Joseph was a man who had great devotion. And these facts became a force. And Joseph said no. He left the garment, but he kept his testimony. And Joseph stands as an example to you and an example to me that there is a way and you don't have to yield to temptation. Someone has said this, deal with it immediately. Don't let it grow if you feel tempted. Deal with it realistically. Don't play it down. Don't say, I can handle this. Don't fool yourself into thinking you can get into a compromising situation and you'll be okay. Don't think you can do that. Deal with it realistically. Deal with it ruthlessly. You know, during the Falklands War, Margaret Thatcher bombed her own airstrips because she didn't want them falling into enemy hands. Deal with it ruthlessly. Don't show any mercy to sin or temptation. Deal with it consistently. Don't be saying, maybe. Say no. And don't say no tomorrow and yes the next day and no the next day. Deal with it confidently, because there is a way out. God has made a way of escape. You don't have to yield to temptation. I'm going to finish off. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 10 just for a moment, and I'll finish in 2 seconds. 1 Corinthians 10, I want you to look at verse 12 and 13, because when people are tempted, sometimes there are five lies that people say about temptation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. There are some people who say, it could never happen to me. Look at verse 12. Wherefore let him that take heed, let him that standeth, think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's lie number one, it could never happen to me. Paul says, the Bible says, it can. Lie number two, I'm the only one. Look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You're not the only one. Lie number three, God abandoned me. Look at verse 13 again. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is what? Faithful. God didn't abandon you. Lie number four, I had no choice. Look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Is God a liar? Because if you say you had no choice, if I say I had no choice, we're calling God a liar because God says you're able. Lie number five, it's not my fault. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You had a choice, and it is your fault. It is your fault. Thank God we can look at Joseph, and we can see that Joseph said no. And Joseph stands as a testimony to every young person, and to every child of God, that temptation can be beaten. And maybe this morning, someone in this meeting has yielded to temptation. Let me tell you this morning, the Lord's speaking to you this morning. The Lord says it's time to get out. It's time to sort this out. God is gracious. God is merciful. And God is loving. And you know, he said to the churches, the seven churches in Asia, to some of them, he says, I give them space to repent. And maybe this morning God's given you space to repent. And you know, sometimes if we don't take that space to repent, you know what God does? He exposes us. If God's given you space to repent, now's the time to do it. Don't tempt the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize we live in a sinful and a wicked world. Indeed, the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness, lies in the hands of the wicked one. We realize, Lord, the media is against us. The politicians are against us. The world, the flesh, and the devil are against us. Lord, sometimes it seems nearly an impossible task. But Lord, we thank you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Lord, we pray that we would have that Holy Ghost boldness and confidence that Joseph had, a young man with no one else looking. A young man who loved the Lord and loved his neighbor. Lord, give us that Holy Ghost boldness to say no and to abstain from the very appearance of evil, never mind evil itself. Lord, perhaps someone here this morning, and Lord, this word has been so specific for them. Lord, they couldn't share it with anyone. Those nearest and dear to them know nothing about it. But Lord, if you're giving space to repent, we pray, Lord, that they'll seize this opportunity and get out and flee from whatever it is. And we'll say to God be the glory. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Let's sing in closing from Songs of Victory. Number 487. 487. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. 487. And we'll stand and sing together, please. Thank you.
Lord, do bless those who must leave us now. Lord, as we gather around the Lord's table, Lord, just help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith this morning. And bless our continued waiting upon Thee, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.
Two, keeping our seats, 222 redemptions.